ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. This month, YPulse, the leading authority on Gen Z and millennial opinions and behaviors, has just released their latest report, and it's a special one. It's all about tweens. Mary Lee Bliss, YPulse's chief content officer, is here to talk about tweens and what their behaviors, habits, and interests signal for the future. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we dive into our conversation, can you give listeners a bit of context about YPulse, who you're typically surveying, how many people, how old they are, where they are, how often you're talking to them? And then for this special dive into tweens, can you give us the details similarly and explain why surveying this population is both tricky and important?
Absolutely. YPulse is the leading expert on young consumers. So we are constantly surveying, usually 13 to 39 year olds in both the US, Canada, and in Western Europe. That means we're talking to Gen Z and millennials and millennial parents, and we are asking them all about their behaviors and the trends that they're fueling. And we are reporting on those things, not really looking at vibes and gut and just social media hashtags, but actual data on what they're doing, because we're really reporting near real time on their responses for our surveys. Now, for this report, the tween study, we surveyed 8 to 12 year olds, a special survey for a young demographic that we don't usually survey because it is difficult to survey young people. First of all, there are laws around it. So for this survey, the respondent's parents were present to supervise, and that legally is what needs to happen. So you have to have a guardian or parent there while you're taking the survey. So it's much more difficult to get data on 8 to 12 year olds or younger, and you'll find it's hard to find that data out there. So it's really valuable to be able to deliver these insights to our readers.
One of the first things I want listeners to wrap their heads around and what it means for this cohort, what it means for context, because if you're interviewing people who are 8 to 12 years old, our earliest memories might stick when we're 2 or 2.5, but it's fragmented. And autobiographical memory stabilizes when people are about 5 or 6. So for an 8 to 12 year old at the outside, their entire coherent life story is 3 to 7 years long. And if that's the case, where does that put the context of their lives?
It's so important to remember when we talk about generations, what we're talking about is the context that they grew up in, the events that they've experienced in their lives. And it's often the events that you experience in your young life that really shape you the most. This is what imprints on you, and you do carry through the rest of your life. It impacts your core characteristics, your values. So even broadly looking at just the year they were born, the oldest tweens in this report were born in 2012. So imagine that the last 12 years were the only history that you knew. And it's so vital to think about the technology, the historical events that are their norm. And this is where the bar is set for them in terms of innovation, in terms of expectations and worldview. So some of the things we include in the report, just so people understand as they're thinking about these young consumers, the iPhone was released in 2007. So by the time the oldest people in this report were born, this is mainstream technology. They have never known a world without a smartphone. They've never known a world without YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Roblox. They have really never known a world without Netflix as a streaming platform, not just a streaming platform, but the streaming platform. Cable is nothing to them. Amazon Prime has been around their entire lives. So they've always been able to get things to their door within a day. Grubhub, Uber, on-demand commerce, which to millennials was world-changing, has never not existed for them. So everything they expect going forward has that as the lowest bar.
That's the tech slice and the tool slice. But if we think 3 to 7 years coherent memory, that puts you pandemic, really, absolutely, really, really pandemic-y. Older kids were, and it shapes you, to your point about shaping attitudes and behaviors really foundationally, that's part of it. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Listen, people don't want to talk about the pandemic anymore. And I get it. We get it. It took over and was all we talked about for so long. But when you are talking about tweens today, for many of them, those 2 years were a quarter of their lives.
This or is more, in terms of their experience.
Or more, absolutely. And beyond quarantines, because obviously that isolation is so huge. But beyond that, the after effects of the pandemic are still being felt in the economy, in politics. Right. And we often look at big headlines about big things that are happening now and the context of why and the dominoes that were set up to get us to this point are not necessarily followed. But the pandemic is the root of a lot of what's being experienced now. We are living in a post-pandemic world. The majority of young people that we talk to believe that the world is not the same as it was before the pandemic. So,
but for some of these kids, they don't have a point of reference that was really any sort of developed point of reference
for most
prior.
Of them.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
most of them, absolutely.
So part of your standard survey, the 13 to 39 year old survey, you parse out and separate millennial parents, and they're the parents of these children. How many of mm-hmm. them say and recognize that their child's mental health has been affected by the pandemic?
Yeah, it's a significant number. 42% of millennial parents say their child's mental health was and has been impacted by the coronavirus crisis. That's how we ask it. And that's a significant number. Just overall, parents today, millennial parents, are more open about mental health and conscious about the emotional impacts of the events their kids are going through at young ages. And so, yeah, there's a lot of awareness around the continued impacts of the pandemic on their mental health.
Well, a lot of what would have been in real life experiences were through the lens of technology. And we've talked about Gen Z being digital natives. What would we say about tweens? Are they different with regard to tech? I mean, would we categorize them as, mm-hmm. as just continuing that trend, or is there something different?
Of course, there's a continuation. Yes, they are growing up with technology. What's really different about tweens today, 8 to 12 year olds are really the first wave that has had their entire childhood recorded on mobile devices, but also really the first wave that were handed mobile devices truly from infancy. So they have had experiences with smartphones from before memories were formed, to
right.
your point.
Right, right.
And yeah, and now when we ask about the devices that they own, that they themselves have, the majority of 8 to 12-year-olds have their own smartphone and their own tablet. So 65% say they own a tablet, 65% say they own a smartphone.
A lot of people discount tablets because adults don't tend to use them. However, the kids today, the little kids do.
And
and if you're a brand, you've got to be mobile first. That's the mm-hmm. game. Can you break down in a bit more detail what it means in terms of the so what and the now what
yeah.
of being mobile first for these
yeah.
people?
I think it's a great point that a lot of people don't think about tablets because they're not using them as adults as much. And they kind of fell out of favor right after that first wave of iPads came out. Everybody kind of, there was a thrill and then kind of died off among adults. But kids are using them in school and they are absolutely the mobile device of this generation. They are the iPad kids. And that has negative connotations online. You'll see a lot of social content around the negative parts of being an iPad kid. But 58% of parents that we survey agree my child is an iPad kid. So it's also just a reality that they're attached to these screens. What does it mean? It means they are carrying around their own personal entertainment dashboards, their own smart TVs around the house beyond. Entertainment is literally always in their hands. There's no appointment viewing went out the window with Gen Z and millennials, right? But a constant access to entertainment is this group's reality.
What are they doing? So it's entertainment, but what are they doing on those mm-hmm. devices? How and where are they spending their time?
Well, it depends on the family, right?
Okay.
Because certainly some families are supervising and monitoring and creating time limits mm-hmm. on how much those screens are used. And certainly we see the majority of millennial parents, majority of parents are worried about the amount of time their kids are spending on screens. However, 78% of millennial parents say that they give their kids smartphones or iPads to entertain them. So it's something that is a bit of a default babysitter for a lot of people who have these devices in their houses. What are they doing? Absolutely, they are watching content on those tablets and on those smartphones, truly. Netflix, YouTube, and TikTok, for sure. We can talk about more about social media in a minute, but those are places where they're consuming content. And then also gaming. Gaming is huge for this age group, as it is for Gen Z, but it is always in their hands. So definitely gaming and entertainment consumption are really the top ways that they're using those tablets.
When we talked about entertainment with the older population, Netflix was the force in the room. How is Netflix doing with this population?
Yeah, Netflix is the number one streamer for 8 to 12 year olds. For sure, the top streamer. When we look at the other entertainment sources, it is neck and neck with YouTube for tweens. So okay. 56% of 8 to 12 year olds say they use Netflix to watch content weekly or more. And 54% of 8 to 12 year olds say they use YouTube to watch content weekly or more. So these are really their top two entertainment sources.
How does Disney Plus, which is really, this is their audience that they want.
Yeah.
How does Disney Plus stack up?
Disney Plus is in the top five. 41% say they watch it weekly or more, but it is number four, and it is slightly, a tiny, tiny bit, a percentage point below TikTok. Probably wow. not who they want to be neck and neck with.
Right, right. Wow. Well, that's interesting. Also, when we spoke about entertainment last, we talked about how consumers 13 to 39 feel about diversity. How does this group, when speaking for themselves, feel about diversity and inclusion in their entertainment?
Yeah, it's important to them. It's important to tweens. And when we ask them, 83% agree, I want the shows and movies that they watch to show people from different races, abilities, and identities. So the majority want that diversity on screen. Now, when we talk about Gen Z being the most diverse generation to date, we know that every generation that follows, the rates of diversity, the actual percentage breakdown of non-white versus white, people of color versus white, is going to increase. And so 8 to 12 year olds are even more diverse than Gen Z. And it's absolutely natural that they would want to see themselves on screen.
Right. This is reflection. They want to see who they are. They want to they want to have content that reflects them and their lives. This group mm-hmm. is not officially old enough to be on social media, but you mentioned social media. You mentioned TikTok. How are they accessing it? What are they looking at?
Yeah. Age restrictions be damned. The majority are on social media. 92% of 8 to 12 year olds. Now, social media platforms that we listed include some games that are also social. And include YouTube, which is obviously an entertainment platform as well. Mm. But when we look at the individual platforms that might raise eyebrows in terms of their participation, 53% of 8 to 12 year olds tell us that they are using TikTok. 38% say they use Facebook. 32% use Snapchat. And 29% say that they use Instagram. So not small numbers. And the fact that over half say they use TikTok, there's a lot of controversy still mm-hmm. around this app. A bill was passed in the House to ban TikTok. So the fact that over half of 8 to 12 year olds tell us they use it is significant. And I think probably would cause a lot of outcry among those who believe that it's a damaging app.
If I think about my own struggles, parental controls and content, and obviously there are social trends in government to restrict access to books and things. How much are parents able to control what their children see? How much do kids chafe at controls? Was that anything that you explored?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We asked about this. We have to.
Right.
Because it is such a battle for millennial parents. Now, some older generations might judge the fact that they're handing iPads and smartphones to their kids. But at the same time, these are devices that they're giving their kids to protect them on some level. They want to be able to monitor them. The majority of tweens tell us that their parents are tracking their location. They want them to be able to get in touch with them. But then handing them these devices also opens up this huge world of social media and the dangers and potential negative mental impacts of those places.
Right.
And so there really is this ongoing battle with screens, but also with monitoring what their kids are doing. Now, 84% of tweens agree that their parents supervise what they're doing online. So we know parents are absolutely, they're trying their best. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it can't be perfect. It's likely not perfect that they're catching everything. And certainly also, if you are opening up TikTok as an entertainment platform, those clips are short, they're quick.
Right.
It's very easy for things to pop into the feed that might not be approved, even if a little bit or a monitored amount of TikTok use is approved.
Do the children have agency? They're being monitored, but are they typically deciding what they're seeing?
I would definitely say that's a family by family.
Okay. That's a family thing.
By a family decision. I think, yes, in some families, they have a lot of agency. And I think in some families, it's a huge debate ongoing fight.
Right, right.
About what they're watching and wanting to watch things and putting the pressure on and whining any parent who's listening.
Right. Lots of whining going on.
Constant onslaught. Sometimes the response is finally, I give up.
Well, right. So, there is an element of that, especially if you're using it in a babysitting capacity. I need to wash the dishes. I need to cook this food. I just need you not to scream for 5 minutes. I have a conference call. These are things. Back in the olden days, when people read magazines, tweens would read Seventeen magazine, 17-year-olds would read Mademoiselle, adults would read Cosmo and Vogue. How does aspirational behavior manifest in a digital world?
Yeah, that's so real that the tween set has really always had aspirations to see the content for those older than them. And, you know, tweens, millennial tweens were reading all of those adult magazines and teen magazines and wanting to be like that. But today's tweens have a different kind of access to that content. And on social media, we see that they are the majority watching influencers who are older than them. And so they're getting almost instant access to the trends that not just teens are being exposed to, but also even older. And I'm not here to sensationalize anything. I mean, that's a mixed bag.
Right.
That can be things that are wholesome, and that can be things that are not necessarily for their eyes. But 91% of tweens tell us that they watch influencers who are older than them, and they are absolutely being literally influenced by the trends that they're seeing. And we see that in recent pop culture events that have made tons of headlines to the point where we're almost tired of seeing it. But tweens in Sephora and using skincare and Drunk Elephant and carrying their Stanley cups around middle school, I think we can pretty directly correlate all of those trends of the teeny bopper set adopting the products that are really being marketed towards truly millennials. That's really clearly correlated to their exposure to influencers.
If this population is being influenced by influencers and they want to manage their image with their peer group, so they're seeing things that maybe they wouldn't typically see, what's the outcome of that? So it sounds like they're influencing purchasing. There is a pull through.
Absolutely. 75% of tweens tell us that they've wanted to buy something that an online celebrity has spoken about or recommended. So that's actually higher than the number of teens, 13 to 17 year olds, or young adults, 18 to 24 year olds, who agree with the same statement.
I wonder if that'll be durable as they age up. Are they able to convince their parents to support these purchases?
Absolutely.
if they weren't
able to, then we would not see the social media videos of teen girls invading Sephora and some kids being bullied because they didn't have the right brand of water cup in class. Yes, these are things that they are able to influence. And we have the data around that as well, because the majority of millennial parents, 75%, say that their kids influence their purchases.
Okay. So what you're seeing is a consistency between what the millennial parents report and what the tween self report. So everybody's on the same page.
Yeah,
yes, they're able
to
influence purchases. Would you say...
Oh, yeah, they're aware of it. I think that's important. They know they have that influence.
Would you say that millennial parents understand their kids pretty well, so that if you are talking to millennial parents about the behaviors and desires of their children, that they actually seem to square up pretty well?
Yes, I absolutely would. And we do use millennial parents as a proxy for this group or young kids in general. The majority of millennial parents have kids who are under 13 years old. So we're talking about a generation of parents that is having direct access to young kids. So when brands want to understand those kids, really parents are the best way to get that information. And we're actually able to, because of this special survey of 8 to 12 year olds, compare the responses that parents give about their parents to the responses that kids give. And what we do see is that parents are generally correct about their kids' behavior. They align. There are differences in maybe number. So for example, the top platforms that millennial parents say that their kids watch are consistent with the top platforms that kids say they watch. Same with social media. The top social media platforms that kids say that they're on are the same top platforms that millennial parents say. But the percentages are a little different. Kids are more likely to say, for example, that they use TikTok than millennial parents are to say that their kids use TikTok. But it's still in the top five of platforms, but their estimation of how many of their kids are using it is lower. So it's a matter of, I think,
degree. It's almost like
them being a guide. Yes, exactly. They're the guide. And if they say their kids are using TikTok, that they're there probably even more than they suspect, but they are a great guide. And really, honestly, on a consistent basis, one of the best way that brands can get information about this group.
Wonderful. A few months ago, we talked about gaming and how pervasive it was. Is this cohort gaming?
Absolutely. They're growing up with a controller in hand. This is so important. Millennials had access to gaming really kind of in their early childhood. Gen Z has had access to gaming their whole lives, but mobile gaming as a boom really happened for most of them kind of in their early childhood. But this is a generation that has had mobile games and console games a consistent part of their world. The majority, 67% of 8 to 12 year olds play video or mobile games in some capacity. And the majority own a console. So absolutely, this is a gaming generation as well.
In television development, people talk about and think about co-viewing, where parents spend time with their children. Mm-hmm. Is there co-playing? Are the parents participating in this?
Absolutely. 66% of parents say that they play video games with their kids. And so it's a family bonding activity. And for older generations, that might feel crazy. But for millennials, who, as I said, grew up gaming themselves, it's very natural to share that passion with their kids. And by the way, that 66% is of all parents. That's not just 66% of parents who play video games. That's 66% of all parents. So it's a huge part of family bonding today.
What about virtual worlds? We've talked about that in the past, and how are they interacting there?
Yeah, the majority of young tweens are playing video games that involve being part of a virtual world, 76% of 8 to 12 year olds. And that's more than the number of teens who tell us if they're in virtual worlds and the number of young adults who tell us they're in virtual worlds. So they are spending time in metaverses, because that's really what Roblox and Fortnite and Minecraft are. They're worlds where you can do anything, buy anything, look like anything. And so this is a formative part of the world of tweens today. And it impacts a lot, I think, of their worldview in the way that previous generations really didn't have. So I would say this is a part of gaming that truly is different from the generations that came before them, because they are having really formative milestones and experiences inside of virtual worlds at very young ages, hanging out with friends, making friends, and some of their first brand interactions are happening inside of games. Because Squishmallows, Claire's, Forever 21, Nike, all of these brands and many, many, many more have at this point set up experiences in virtual worlds because they know young people are there. So I would say tweens are some of the first who are growing up with brands really a part of that gaming world in a way that previous generations didn't experience.
Well, and it's a huge opportunity. If you're a brand, this is a great way to start building that brand awareness and loyalty at a very young age. I mean, it's a level of exposure and interaction, which is really, really different.
And also that they are not getting elsewhere. Because if you are watching Netflix far, far, far more than you are watching cable, cable's not even in the top 10 of media sources for them.
Right.
Commercials are a thing of the past. Right. That's not a way that you are seeing brands. In fact, they're almost a novelty. They're if you are exposed to them, we've seen this qualitatively so much, parents saying, oh, my kid is so fascinated when they are in a house with cable and they see a commercial because it's so foreign to them. So you're not reaching them through commercials if you are a brand. And really, this is one of the only ways that they are seeing advertisements, many of them, because they are skipping ads in YouTube and their parents are really exposing them to platforms that don't have marketing.
So that seems like one of the most important takeaways for brands looking at this group and thinking about how to position themselves for the future. Would that be fair?
Yeah, entertainment and gaming, meaning being actually in a part of the entertainment stories, like, for example, Hot Wheels has a new show on Netflix. These are now tried and true ways of being in front of young people from the millennial generation on, actually having these franchises that then endear them so much and obsess them so much. That's why so many toys were created in our first toy. So many cartoons were created was because they wanted to sell the toy. But so media and then, gaming are really the top ways that brands can be a part of their world.
And one last thing before we go, given that the pandemic was such a factor in their lives and social development, does this group go outside and do things in real life?
Yeah, it's such a great question because I think there's a perception because of so many headlines around social media use and device use. And it's understandable because it's so foreign for previous generations to see a childhood filled with these things, that there's a fear that that's all they're doing. They're only spending time on screen. But the reality is there is a balance. They are still very full, schedules full of off-screen activities. 88% of tweens tell us they have a hobby. And while, yes, video games are in the top five, the rest are very creative or physical. Sports is number one. Arts and craft are number two. Reading is number four. Dance, number five. We have a whole list in the report. But I think those fears that they're only spending time on smartphones or tablets or in these gaming worlds are understandable, but millennial parents have a lot of fear around the amount of time their kids are spending on screens. And so they are absolutely making concerted efforts to have off-screen time and activities for their kids.
Wonderful. This has been so interesting. And I'm so glad that you did the survey and that we could talk about it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next. I'd like to close by thanking my production team at Up Next, my friend Rob Naughton, the voice artist who recorded our open, and of course, all of you, the members of our audience. Thank you. I'll be talking to you again next time right here on Up Next.